has been faithful, and it's His grace and His hand that has carried us thus far. And today we can rejoice in His name and rejoice in His power, that the mercy of God is He's been faithful to each and every one of us. I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking Mike, the leadership of the church, for the opportunity and the privilege to share the word of God to you. I said about 2 weeks I've not been very well. I've been in the rough side, and in fact on the 15th of December I had food poisoning, and it made me so rough that I could not even pray and speak, and like I was helpless. And out of those 2 weeks, only about 5 days I've been to work. And but God has been faithful, and He is true. And during those times of roughness and during the time of weakness, I think so it's the word and the strength that's on the inside that's given me the courage and the strength to go forward. And that is why for you, I encourage you to, while you're well, listen to the word of God and let the word of God become part of your life, that one day you might need that word within you. And I know that it's His word and His strength that's given me the power to go forward. And no matter what you're going through, the word of God is living and the word of God is powerful. And His word has the answers for all the problems that we are facing. This morning I'm going to read from Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45. Immediately he made his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side, to Bethsaida. And when he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he went to the mountain to pray. When it was evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then he, being straining at rolling, for the wind was contrary against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would pass them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and they were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And then when he went into the boat to them, the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, and they could not understand about the loaves because of the hardness of heart. And verse 53, and when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when the people came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole country region, and began to carry about on the beds those who were sick, to whatever they have heard he was. And whenever he entered into the villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they may just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him was made well. I pray may God bless the reading of his word. We find in the story that Jesus instructed the disciples to meet him on the other side after the feeding of the 5,000. And although they were affected by the storm, Jesus met them at the point of need. The disciples were in the middle of the boat when the storm hit, and they were far from safety of the shore, exposed and vulnerable. And in these middle places, we often feel stuck, and where we cannot turn back, but feel uncertain about moving forward. It is often in these seasons of struggles, uncertainties, waiting, that God demonstrates his power the most. Whatever the other side you are longing for, it may be a new spiritual growth, fulfillment or promise, breakthrough in your finances or health or relationship, know that God is faithful to complete the work that he started in your life. If he said it, he will do it. And if he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. Because God sees you just like Jesus watching his disciples on the mountain. God sees the struggle and God knows exactly where you are. God is with you. He is not distant. He'll come to you in the storm, walking on the very waves that threaten to overwhelm you. And God will carry you. When Peter began to sink, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Even if you feel like you're drowning in life challenges, his hand is ready to lift you up. We find in the story this morning, Jesus instructed the disciples to meet him the other side, and the place here it gives Bethsaida. But we need to see the story clearly. But they end up in Gennesaret. And when the original destination may not be in Bethsaida, they landed in Gennesaret instead. Now we need to know that Bethsaida represents a place of unbelief and spiritual blindness. And despite Jesus performing miracles there, the people remained hardened and doubtful. In fact, Jesus had to heal a blind man outside Bethsaida, moving from a place of doubt into an atmosphere of faith and trust. Jesus rebuked Bethsaida for their lack of repentance, despite witnessing many miracles. Now we need to know the story. When we look in, this is in chapter 6. In chapter 8, we find verse 13, and then they left them and departing and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. And verse 22 says, and then they came to Bethsaida and they brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. So we see from in chapter 6 of Mark's gospel, Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to meet me on the other side. And the other side, he was referring to Bethsaida. But in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, they arrived at Bethsaida. So some way down the line, they had to change course. And we find that they came to this place called Gennesaret. And this town, it means a place of richness or a paradise-like garden, symbolizes a place of abundance, healing, and restoration. When Jesus arrived at Gennesaret, the people recognized him. They brought the sick, they brought the lame, they brought the blind, and they laid it at the feet of Jesus. Gennesaret symbolizes fertility, fruitfulness, and spiritual openness, a contrast to doubt and resistance in Bethsaida, represent the atmosphere where the word of God is received and miracles flourish. In Gennesaret, the people heeded the word of God and healing freely flowed, reflecting spiritual openness and faith. And God is calling the church, I believe, from a Bethsaida mindset, a place of limitation, a place of doubt, a place of fear, a place of unbelief, a place of resistance, to experience a Gennesaret experience where we can experience the fruitfulness, where we can experience abundance, where we can experience growth, where we can experience the power of Jesus being manifested in our lives where we had not experienced before, where we experience his blessings, healing, and purpose with a heart of faith. Many people, like those in Bethsaida, sometimes we settle for less because of unbelief, of fear, of complacency. However, God has something greater for the church. God has something greater for you. God has something greater for your family. We need to step out into faith. And Bethsaida represents staying in a place of limitation where we settle for less because of fear and doubt. Meanwhile, Gennesaret represents stepping out God's best for us, abundant life, purpose, fulfillment of his purpose and his promise in your life. And God is calling the church. We need to step out and believe that he's going to do a new work in our lives. Today you may be stuck in the storm like the disciples. May God redirect us from a place of stagnation, doubt, and complacency to the place where we can grow, where we can thrive, and where we can experience the power of the Spirit of God. Even when we face storms, God is leading us to a place of fruitfulness and greater faith. So we need to step out and believe that God is going to do something great in our lives. What we must believe that God's going to do something great in the year 2025. Firstly, we need to strengthen your faith in the storm. We need to understand storms will test our faith, that they also may strengthen, that they may also strengthen it. The disciples learned to trust in Jesus in a deeper way when they saw him calm the storm and guide them to the other side. In 2025, may God allow challenges not to harm us, but to build unshakable faith. May we stand strong in the word of God. May we stand in prayer. May we strong in the things of God. May we be faithful to the things that God has purposed and called us to do. Sometimes we think we know the way, because we need to understand Peter, James, and Andrew, where they were from. They were from Bethsaida. They knew how to get to the other side of Bethsaida, because they were seasoned fishermen. They were confident in navigating in familiar waters. However, the storm and the wind drove them towards Gennesaret, a direction they did not plan for, but one that was ordained and purposed by God. And today we may be following in a set path, in a set way, but we may be stuck in the middle of a storm where we seem to be nowhere out, where the winds begin to blow them to Gennesaret rather than to Bethsaida. In the same way, sometimes we often trust our knowledge, our skills, our systems to get our goals to be achieved. By human effect, even our best intention is limited. When we solely rely on tradition, religion, and worldly systems, we risk missing the divine detours that God uses us to have a deeper experience, a deeper encounter, a deeper guidance. That when He leads us, He leads us in all truth. Secondly, we must be sensitive to the blowing of the wind. The wind may disrupt our plans, but it may bring us in divine alignment with God's purpose and God's goal in our lives. These disciples ended up in Gennesaret, a place where Jesus performed many healings and miracles. What seems like a disruption actually was a divine appointment. Actually, it was a divine encounter. Actually, it was something divine that happened to the disciples. And even in our lives, the winds of difficulties, changes or uncertainties, we may feel the setbacks, but they often are God's ways are steering us into a deeper and a greater calling that eye have not seen, nor ear have heard, nor entered the heart of mind, the things that God has purposed for us. And this is why we must remain sensitive to the wind of the Spirit. It carries us beyond limits of human reasoning into God's ordained purpose, into God's ordained calling. We must be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, sensitive to the blowing of the wind, because the wind of the Spirit will blow us into the way that God wants us to go. Thirdly, the Spirit breaks us free from bondages and tradition. Many of us have held back by religion, tradition, and worldly systems that kept us bound in predictable patterns. These frameworks often prioritize our power, our routine over relationships and rules, and over revelation. Jesus himself warned against being captured to traditions that nullify the word of God. The wind of the Spirit liberates us from constraints, pushing us into dynamic, Spirit-led life where faith formulas driven us forward. So we must be driven by the Holy Spirit. We must be driven by the purpose that God has purposed in our lives. As we approach 2025, may be a year where we stop striving in our strength and instead yielding to the supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit. We must stop striving in trying to make things happen or make things achieve. We must rely upon the wind of the Holy Spirit. Remember the disciples on the day of Pentecost. They were fearful. They were scared. But the Bible says that Jesus commanded them to meet there, to tarry into the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty rushing wind. The wind of the Spirit blew the disciples to their purpose. The wind of the Spirit came upon them with power, came upon them with authority, came upon them with unction, came upon them with fire, and it blew them to their destiny. We find that through these 12 disciples, it touched the entire human race. So what the wind of the Spirit blew them throughout the ends of the world. We need a fresh anointing of God's power to line us, our lives into His will. May the Holy Spirit clear the movements by removing obstacles, confusion, and anything that hinders us going forward. And this is why when the disciples were in the middle of the storm, the wind was contrary against them. The wind was pushing them. The wind was pushing them to that destiny. The wind was pushing to the Gennesary rather than to Bethsaida. And may God's wind begin to push the church, not where we want to go in 2025, but where the Spirit wants us to go in the year 2025. Because the day of Pentecost, something supernatural. We have the church experienced a lot of setbacks, but they went forward in faith because of the wind of the Spirit. It blew them to their destination. It blew them to Africa. It blew them to Asia. It blew them to the rest of the world. The Spirit of God blew them into ways that we could not imagine or think. This is what we need, the Spirit of God blowing us to our destiny, blowing us to our purpose, blowing us into the things that God has called us to do. So today we need the Holy Spirit. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to change our course. So long we have been in the same way. It's time we need the fresh wind for 2025. We need the fresh wind. Too long we are doing things out of routine, out of tradition, and out of complacency. But we need the wind of the Spirit. We need the wind of the Spirit of God. We need God's Spirit to blow us and to push us to our destiny, push us to the things that God has called us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us in the year 2025. In 2025, let's surrender our plans, tradition, comfort zone, asking God to breathe His life into every area of our lives. May His wind blow away every weight and distraction and propelling us into our purpose, in what we are uniquely created for, our calling, the work that God has assigned us, our destiny, the fulfillment of His promise in our lives. We see the wind of the Spirit guided the disciples to Gennesary, and may the Holy Spirit guide you to the other side of every storm and every challenges. This year and beyond, may we be carried by the supernatural power of God to a place of healing, restoration, and abundance. A lot of us speak about divine healing. We speak about provision. Let us experience His provision. Let us experience His blessing. Let us experience His healing. Let us witness miracles in the church. Let us witness miracles in our family. Let us witness the power of God in our life. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. Let the wind of the Spirit begin to blow. Let the wind of the Spirit show us the way. Let the wind of the Spirit guide us. Let something supernatural happen in our homes, happen in our churches, happen in this community, happen in this neighborhood. Let God's glory be manifested. What the church needs, what we need, what I need, we need the wind of the Spirit to blow us into our destiny, to blow us into our fulfillment, to blow us into the blessing that God has called us to do. We find when Jesus entered the boat, He pushed them towards Gennesary, and we find that miracles were taking place, healing were taking place, deliverance were taking place. People from the hall around the cities were running and coming to Jesus, laying the sick at the feet, even touching the hem of His garment. They were made whole because the wind of the Spirit was blowing in that direction. This is what we need. We need the wind of the Spirit, and we need something supernatural to happen in our lives. Even in this church, even in our families, even in our homes, even in our jobs, even our health, we need the wind of the Spirit. Let's follow the wind of the Spirit and let's move into the direction that God's wind is blowing for each and every one of us. Let us pray and expect a mighty move of the Spirit in 2025, a year of breakthrough, a year of purpose, a year of fulfillment. Come, Holy Spirit, blow upon my life, blow upon your children, blow upon this church, blow upon this neighborhood, blow upon the church in this country, blow upon your church in this nation and the nations of the world. The storm did not stop the disciples from reaching the destination. It redirected them to God's greater purpose and God's greater plan. When we are facing storms in life, trust God that He's working all things together for good, for His will and for His glory. Like the disciples experienced a miracle before facing the storm, you may find that breakthroughs often precede new challenges. God does not let the storm cancel the blessing. He prepares through that storm your blessing. And sometimes we have to go through the storm to experience the power of the supernatural in our lives. Remember the provision and victory you have already seen this year as a reminder that God has not forgotten about you. We can count our blessings and we can name them one by one, and it will be surprised you what the Lord has done. And God has done so many great blessings in this church, and He has done so many blessings in each and every one of us life. Even we can testify and say that God has been faithful, God has been true, God's hand has carried us through. I know for a fact this year has been difficult for some of us, but God's hand and God has carried us through. It is His hand and His grace and His purpose that has seen us through. And today we stand here to give thanks to Him, because it's He has brought us, He has carried us, He has helped us, He has provided us, He has healed us, He has delivered us, and He has given us the victory. And sometimes when you're stuck in the storm, and like wondering if Jesus cares about you. But Jesus not only knew their predicament, He came to them at the right moment. And when you face setbacks or hardship, doesn't mean that God has abandoned this church. Doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. Doesn't mean God has abandoned your family. He sees, He knows, and He's always with us. And this is why during this time of Christmas we celebrate that Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. No matter what storm you're facing, God is with us. God is with you. God is with your family. The devil may say that God is not with you, but the Word of God says that God is with each and every one of us. He said, I'll be with you even unto the very ends of this age. Lo, I am with you even unto the very ends of the age. Even when you walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even the Word of God says that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So God is with you, church. Remember, 2025, some of us may be scared and to come against the storms and the challenges. One thing you need to know, that as we enter into year 2025, God is with you. God is with you. May this year be one of breakthrough and victory. And the same God will calm the storm for the disciples, will calm yours, guiding you through every obstacle. Trust Him. 2025 is a year to move forward in faith. Many people, like those in Bethsaida, settle for less because of unbelief, fear, and complacency. However, God has something much more greater for us if we're willing to step out into faith. Today we pray that God will give us the faith to go forward, to believe Him, to trust in Him, and to have hope that He is with us. And to know that He will never leave us. He's with us all the time. So we need to have the faith. And what we need is the wind of the Spirit for 2025. We need the wind to blow us. These disciples were going to Bethsaida. Everything was nice, calm, and suddenly the wind began to blow. And the wind was pushing them and pushing them, pushing them away from Bethsaida to this place called Gennesaret, where a place where God wants divinely, you can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And sometimes when we face storms where God is pushing us to the destiny, we want to fight back. Let go and let God have his way. Let his purpose be fulfilled in your life. Say, God, I trust in your plan. And I trust that you are going to do a new work in my life. Remember, Peter, James, and John, they were from Bethsaida as well. Even in this dry, hard-hearted place, God still raised me a great man of faith. But he doesn't want us to keep on going there. He wants us to go to a place of fruitfulness, a place of where we can flourish, a place where we can experience the blessings of God. And I believe it's the year 2025, we will see the supernatural. We will see miracles. We will see healing. We will see deliverance. We will see breakthrough. We will see restoration. We'll see the power of the Holy Spirit moving in and through the church. Let's pray this morning. And Lord, as we stand on the threshold of 2025, we acknowledge that the storms that have threatened to hold us back, but we also recognize that you are the God who meets us in the middle and take us to the other side. Help us to trust you in your process, healing to your spirit. Walk boldly into the destiny that you have prepared for us. Let 2025 be a year where we experience your power, your presence, your purpose, guiding us forward. And today we pray, we need the wind of the Holy Spirit, Father, to blow us to our destination, to blow us to our purpose, to blow us into the things that you have called us, O God. We need the Spirit of God to blow in each and every one of our lives, to blow us into the things that you have called us, O God. And today we ask of you to remove religion and tradition and bondage, things that, O God, that prevent your Spirit moving in and through our lives, O God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need the blowing of the Spirit of God upon this ministry, Lord Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit guidance upon this ministry, that, Lord, that you direct them, O God. We have many plans in our hearts, O God, but it's the Lord's plan that will stand. And today we pray, Lord Jesus, we pray for a fresh outpouring of the wind of the Spirit to blow again upon this church, O God. Yes, we know in this church, O God, they experience the wind of the Spirit, O God, time and time again. But we pray for a fresh wind of the Spirit of God over this ministry, over the leadership of God, in the name of Jesus, over the people of this church. We pray that the Spirit of God will begin to blow them into their calling, blow them into their purpose, O God. Blow them near to you to trust and to hold on into the things that you have ordained for them, Lord Jesus. We need the Spirit of God, Lord Jesus, and we need the Spirit of God to blow greatly upon this church. That, Lord, that even at the place they came to Gennesaret, the disciple, a place, O God, where the miracles took place, O God, where people were healed and delivered and set free. Once again, Lord Jesus, this ministry, they'll experience signs, wonders, and miracles, where we pray that the sick will be healed, O God. We pray that you'll heal those who are oppressed by the devil, Lord Jesus. We pray that devils will be cast out, O God. We pray that the glory of God will be manifested, O God. And today we pray that you'll touch every person, Lord. We pray there'll be a new wind of the Spirit of God blowing them into their destination for year 2025. Let them experience that power, Lord Jesus, as never before, Lord Jesus, in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, even the children and their children, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that your Spirit, O God, will move as never before, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come, mighty Holy Spirit, and may your wind begin to blow. May the wind of the Holy Spirit begin to blow. May it begin to blow in this ministry, Lord. Blow in our lives, O God. Blow in our family. Blow in our children, Lord Jesus, and bring us to the place that you ordain for us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.